Good afternoon or good morning as the case may be, and welcome to TGS NOPEX conference. My name is Hank Hamilton and I'm the CEO of the company. I have also with me from TGS NOPEX on the line Arna Helland, our CFO, and John Adamick, our Vice President of Business Development. We'd like to open the call with just a few comments relative to the first quarter update we issued yesterday. And following that, we'll open the call to questions from the call participants. So as we mentioned in the press release yesterday, based on our initial management reporting for the first quarter, we now expect our net revenues for the quarter to be in the range of 5 to 6% below the first quarter of last year. As we have described many times in the past, the bulk of our revenue stream comes from what we call late sales. These are customer purchases from our library of completed projects. The exact timing and the magnitude of this type of late sales are very difficult for us to predict, since our customers really don't tell us how much and when they intend to purchase data far in the future. Also, the late sales tend to be quite lumpy or chunky in nature, meaning that closing one or two of such large-scale deals in a quarter quite often makes the difference between what we would consider a good quarter and what we consider a poor quarter. So for all the above reasons, we do not issue quarterly guidance. We prefer to focus on a longer term, and we also have emphasized and urged to our investors that they should look at our performance over a longer time period. We typically issue guidance on an annual basis. In the case of this quarter, we realized our sales were significantly below estimates that had been published, not by us, but by others. And we felt, as a result, obligated to update the market with more accurate information as soon as we had a reasonable estimate, hence the press release yesterday. A few more comments on that. The other portion of our revenue stream, which is not late sales, are our pre-funding revenues, which are commitments to projects that we have in progress. Those are typically much more predictable from quarter to quarter. And in the case of the first quarter, our pre-funding revenues were very much in line with our own estimates. So we don't expect there to be any surprise there. Basically, it was our seismic late sales that came in below our own expectations. And we think that's the primary reason that our revenues are going to be below what the market was expecting. As I mentioned earlier, the difference between a strong quarter and a disappointing quarter can often be just one or two of these large-scale purchases. And by large-scale, I mean something on the order of $4 million or greater. And although we were unable to close any such large-scale deals during the first quarter, we continue to see strong interest from customers in such large-scale deals. And we continue to provide price quotations on such large-scale deals. So we don't feel that those are disappearing in the marketplace. We just couldn't close any of them before the end of the quarter. On a geographic basis, we anticipate that our Q1 revenue distribution is going to look very similar to what we've delivered over the past year or so, meaning that no one geographic area really stands out as being a strong or a weak performer in the first quarter. And based on the activity levels that we saw at the licensing rounds in the first quarter in the Central Gulf of Mexico and in Norway's 18th round, and based on the current activity levels of our sales group, we still expect to achieve the 15% annual growth that we talked about a couple of months ago for the full year of 2004. OK, Okay, I think that concludes the prepared comments that we've made, and at this time we'll open the call to questions from the listeners. To pose a question, please press star 1.
First question, Mr. Richard Johnson, ABG Sundal Collier.
Good morning, Hank. I have a question sort of regarding the guidance for the year as a whole. 15% revenue growth year on year, and starting Q1 with a 5-6% decline means that the rest of the year needs to be 22% above last year's level. Can you point to any specific drivers for such a reversal of fortunes, considering the fact that the main, two main licensing rounds in Norway and the Gulf of Mexico are already behind us? So what are the other drivers that are going to revive sales in the following three quarters?
Okay. Let me answer that question with first a general comment, and then I'd like John Adamek to answer more specifically about the drivers that we see going forward. A 20-22% year-over-year quarter is not at all unusual for us. If you look back at our last year's third quarter performance, it was 50% higher than the year before. And then if you also look at the quarter following that, the fourth quarter, it was 29% higher than the year before. So I don't think the magnitude of that number should be scary, especially, being in the market and talking to the customers the way we are. I think we have a reasonably good feel for that. Regarding the specific drivers that we see for the rest of the year, John, maybe you have some comments.
Yes, I do. There are a number of other lease rounds occurring this year, Richard. Of course, we did have the bidding for the 18th round in Norway. That's occurred, although some of those awards are still to be, some revenue related to that will occur later. We also had the Central Gulf of Mexico sale in March, where we have a lot of data. That was a pretty good lease round, but it has already occurred. But the thing I need to point out to you, I've mentioned this several times before to others, that the activity in the Gulf of Mexico, particularly for the deep shelf trend, is not tied only to lease sale activity. A lot of the leases in the Gulf of Mexico, particularly on the shelf, are held by smaller operators, by production. And a lot of the deep shelf activity is really a farm out type game where the interested party goes in and farms into an existing lease to drill those deeper plays. So with regard to deep shelf activity, where we are, that we have invested and continue to invest a lot of money, very much it's not only the lease sales that are drivers, but just this entire farm in, farm out game. And we expect that to continue throughout the year. There are some other lease rounds that come up that can be significant for the company in the course of the year. There is a round coming up in Brazil, which could be material for the company. That's in August. There is, of course, a Western Gulf of Mexico lease sale that also occurs in August. Then there are other rounds which are smaller in scope, but where we have a good concentration of data, including Greenland and Liberia. These are more local areas. Greenland is in, the round has started up. It closes actually in October of this year. And then Liberia has also just opened up the round. It closes in November. And there's also some activity in the UK, the UK C4 round, although we don't have a lot of data there. We do have some exposure to that round.
Can I just have a follow-up question?
Yes.
Now I'm fully aware that year-on-year growth rates can be quite high, as you point out. I'm just sort of curious why, going from a first quarter with a year-on-year decline and suddenly back to a big year-on-year growth. And I'm just looking at, the kind of demands that are put on revenue generation for the next three quarters. On average, they need to be generating revenues of 43 $1 million each, and that compares to fourth quarter last year, which is, you know, normally the seasonally strong quarter of 46. So you need to be basically repeat the kind of performance you had in Q4 last year every single quarter in the next three quarters. I'm just wondering whether that is a tough call, or you know, how confident you are that you can actually achieve that based on what John just said about the licensing round and the rounds of the farmer activity. So.
You know, it's not a different situation than we found ourselves in midway through last year, where we had guided on percent higher revenues than we were behind the year before at that point. So we really had to outperform in the second half. And we did. I think we feel reasonably good about the first quarter. The only thing that was missing was a couple of these large-scale deals. And we think those are still out there to be had. So... I guess based on the current oil and gas prices, the cash flow of the oil companies, and the interest level that they're indicating to us in our projects, those are the things that give us confidence. We have to emphasize that that late sales continue to be, and so there's no guarantee that we hit our target, but it's at this stage our best estimate, and I don't know that we feel any more or less confident about that estimate than we did 2 months ago. We probably have a little bit further than we thought we would 2 months ago, but we still feel good about it.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Orsus, Kreiter, Enskilda Securities.
My first question is to Hank. When did you realize that your first quarter expectation was not reachable?
On April 1st.
Okay, so some expectation, some huge large-scale sale expected to be booked in Q1 that was not expected to be booked. Can you please tell me, will they be booked later, you believe, or are they canceled?
Well, we were definitely working on trying to close some large-scale deals at the end of the quarter, as do every quarter. We were unsuccessful, and I think the opportunities to do such deals have not gone away. We don't believe it's the case that our competitors have come in and scooped all the opportunities away from us. We think they're still out there, so... I won't say that those particular deals are going to happen exactly in the form we thought they would in the second quarter now, but we do see a healthy number of large-scale opportunities still there.
Can you please also comment what you see among your key clients these days regarding exploration spending or seismic spending? What's the development you have seen for the last 3 to 6 months? And what do you believe going forward? What's the momentum going looking like right now?
I would say also that what we have seen is maybe resurgence is too strong of a word, but we've seen the majors getting more active in our business exploration. They seem to have moved a little bit away from where they had been, where they were just investing in development and in things right around their existing infrastructure, and now they're opening up to maybe a little bit more exploration spending. So we're seeing that impact over the past months in our business.
My last question is, how do you expect the deep shelf gas play to continue? Because obviously you have invested a lot of money here and are continuing with the full effort. The sales you were talking about, this large scale, was this related to the Gulf of Mexico and the deep shelf primarily? And how does the deep shelf gas play look going forward?
I think it's fair to say that at least some of the big deals that we have in progress are Gulf of Mexico related and deep gas related. It's I think still an area that has a lot of interest for the industry. Of course, we'd all like to see some more successful deep gas wells. But I think we're not discouraged at all. If anything, we're encouraged that that we're investing in the right place based on the dialogue that we have with our customers today.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Jon Olaisen, Carnegie. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I realize that your sales are coming in bulks, and sometimes they could slip over to the next quarter. However, I guess most of the market expectations for Q1 was related to the licensing rounds and sales connection to those, particularly given your 20% increase in CapEx last year, where, if I remember correctly, 70 to 80% of the CapEx was in the Gulf of Mexico. So I expect that the market here, well, me at least, expected a strong quarter due to higher licensing rounds sales, to call it that. When this didn't come, would that have any impact on your CapEx going forward? How much you would spend, where you would spend it, and also will it have any impact on the amortization charges in Q1 and also going forward?
Okay, there were a lot of questions there. The license round issue John covered pretty well, that particularly in the Gulf of Mexico, that the areas where we're investing are with the deep gas are not necessarily driven by the license rounds, because much of the acreage is already held by smaller operators, and it's a farming game. So we're not really discouraged by the sales that we had leading up to the licensing round. Relative to the plans for our investments for the rest of the year, we have not changed the plans. They still remain as they were when we talked about them 2 months ago. A lot of our investment will be based upon completing the large Deep Resolve 3D project that we have ongoing right now. We will also be looking at opportunities to expand that. And Arna, maybe you want to comment on the amortization charge question.
Yes, I don't think so that there's any upside that's gone away since some of the sales didn't that we had expected for the rounds didn't come now. So there's no. This should not mean any increase in amortization rate on those investments that we did last year. When it comes to the amortization rate for this quarter, it's still too early to say because that varies with the individual projects that we have sold. So we will have to wait till we've done the consolidation to find out how that will look.
All right. If I could have one following up question on that. You have previously said that you expect the seismic market to grow with between 5% and 10% this year, and you expect a 15% supply and growth. How do you see that combination and your own market share in Q1 this year? Do you expect the seismic market to have been flat, up, or down? Or how do you see your own market share in Q1 this year?
Yeah, that's hard to say because things can fluctuate so much from quarter to quarter.
Very nice, right.
I really can't give an answer on that. Until we see what the others publish for the first quarter.
Right. Is there a trend that oil companies invest more outside of the Gulf of Mexico than in the Gulf of Mexico? That was my final question.
I have seen a couple of third-party surveys that would indicate that they are growing their expenditures outside the U.S. more than they are inside the U.S. in 2004. I don't know that we have enough evidence to support that that's the case in seismic or not at this stage. But I think it might be reasonable to assume that.
Could I have one more question? I'm sorry. Have you had any requests for data in the Brazilian round? The Brazilian round is up in a few months. What is the response so far?
I think it's good. I would say that we have seen more activity already for Brazil Round 6 than we, and even though we still have several months to go, than we saw for the entire Brazil Round 5 period. So that, I think, is an encouraging sign.
Right, that's all from you. Thanks a lot.
Next, Mr. Victor Johnson, ABG Sundal Collier.
No, I think my question was answered, but could you just repeat the last thing you said about the Brazilian round, Hank?
Yes. What I said was that we have already, you know, even though there are still months left to go to that, or 4 months left to go until that round, we have already seen more activity related to this upcoming round than we saw for the entire period of the previous round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
If more questions, please press star key 1. Next, Mr. Frank Hagerton, Pareto.
Yeah, good afternoon, Hank. You recently completed the EMC 3D survey. Have you yet landed any large single-scale sales for that particular survey, or when do you expect to do so? And how is the interest from customers for that particular survey? Because it was a very large investment for your company.
Yeah, as for those of you who may not know, that's a deep water project in the Gulf of Mexico. We just completed in the first quarter and have been showing industry, and I think the response has been really, really good on the quality of the data. It's an outstanding looking project. I don't want to comment on the level of sales for any individual project, because for competitive reasons, but I think we're quite pleased with that investment at this point, Frank.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Hamilton, no further questions.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the interest and your questions. And we will see you on May the 6th when we give the full presentation of our first quarter earnings. Thank you.